Don't spend another winter with your home colder than it should be. Hi, I'm Roy Spencer with PermaSeal. We measure the amount of heat loss and recommend solutions to keep it comfortable. Call PermaSeal for your free estimate, 800-421-SEAL, or visit permaseal.net.
20 years ago today, this new book came out, and you didn't know anything about it. In the summer of 1997... Tony Blair was settling in as the UK's new prime minister. Bill Clinton was working to pass the Balanced Budget Act. Timothy McVeigh was convicted of the Oklahoma City bombing. The Pathfinder probe landed on Mars. Johnny Versace was murdered in Miami Beach. Puff Daddy's I'll Be Missing You knocked Hanson's Mbop off the number one spot on Billboard. It was also the summer when the world met Harry Potter. Sarah Begley joins us now, staff writer at Time Magazine, and also the person who wrote the introduction to and is one of the writers of Harry Potter, Inside the Tale That Enchanted the World. It's out in paperback right now. You can find it on Amazon. You can find it where you check out sometimes at stores. Hey, Sarah, it's John Williams. You're on WGN Radio in Chicago. How are you?
I'm great, thanks, John. Thank you for having me.
I haven't read the book. I haven't seen the movies. I know it's a thing. Can you kind of walk me through it? Harry Potter is the story of?
Harry Potter is the story of an orphan boy growing up with family members in England who finds out at age 11 that he's actually a wizard and that there's this whole secret magical society that he never knew about. And not only that, but he's actually already famous in this world because when he was a baby, an evil wizard tried to kill him, and somehow he defeated that wizard. So at the beginning of the first book, he's going off to boarding school to learn about magic, but he's also figuring out that he's going to have this great responsibility to protect the wizarding community from this evil wizard's potential return to power.
And is that boarding school he goes to Hogwarts?
That is Hogwarts, correct.
And when he arrives, does he arrive as a celebrity then? Everybody knows about him?
They do. And what's weird for him is that he doesn't know that much about what happened to him as a baby. So it's like everyone knows about him and he doesn't know anything about them.
Did he have power when he got to that school?
Yes. So in this world, you're born with power. And if your family is magical, you are almost certainly going to be magical yourself. But some children are born to parents who are not magical, and they have powers anyway.
Where were Harry's parents? Why wasn't he with them? Or were they the ones that sent him to the boarding school?
They died in the incident that also defeated the evil wizard. So he's been living with some sort of cruel family members, an aunt and uncle, who took him in when he was young and did not want him to know about his powers.
Why were they that way? Why wouldn't they adore this sweet little boy with the powers?
That's an excellent question. I think part of it is that any book needs a good villain to get it started off. So it sort of helps him realize at a young age that he thought he was different in a bad way. It turns out he's different in a good way.
Is this J.K. Rowling's first book when she writes this?
Yes, it was.
Boy, the audacity to think that she would be able to write this landmark tale. I mean, how did she pull that off?
That's absolutely right. She did, she actually got turned down by a number of publishers before she finally found somebody to publish the book. She was a single mother at the time. She was writing in cafes. She was basically on welfare for a period of time. And this book, obviously, we've never seen anything like it before or since, the level of success that it's had. It's sold more than 450 million copies for the entire series worldwide. And nobody really could have predicted that it would become the thing that it did become.
Boy, if she just got $2 for every book sold, she'd be a billionaire with 450 million sold.
Yeah, and, she has been at various times the wealthiest writer alive. However, she does give a lot of money to charity, so that has sort of depleted her savings beneath some of her peers.
Was the book a bestseller right away?
It did fairly well in England at first. It was a little bit of a slow burn, and it did not actually come out here in the U.S. until a little while later. So in the meantime, it changed titles. In the U.K., it was called Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. They thought that wouldn't really make sense to children in the U.S., so they changed it to the Sorcerer's Stone. And then between basically the second and third books coming out in the U.S., it went from being sort of popular to being just a complete phenomenon.
Well, I remember my sons read the book. In fact, I would say, and maybe many people my age, you may remember this different ways. Maybe it was the first book series that you really read cover to cover. But in my case, it was the first series my children, you know, sort of just tore into. And I don't know now if we were ever standing in line, but I do remember the stories of the next book coming out and everybody standing in line, moms with their kids or dads with their kids waiting. And I don't know if that was for the first edition or subsequent, you know, volumes, but
yeah,
that was a thing.
I think the third book was really the time when they first started seeing that reaction. And even now, last summer, they published a book version of the play that came out in London, Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. Huh. And even for that, people went to these midnight release parties, even though now, unlike in 2007 when the final book in the series came out, now you can sit at home at midnight and hit download on your Kindle and read it right there. But people still wanted to relive that experience of going to the bookstore and staying out till midnight and just being with other people dressed up and seeing owls and other decorations.
Did she conceive it as a 7-book series, or did she just keep writing because it was so popular?
I believe she always meant for it to be 7 books, and each one is a different year in the Hogwarts curriculum. So it was great for kids who were, say, in late elementary school when the first books came out, because the books aged with them. They were the same age as the characters in the books, and the books also got a little bit more advanced, a little bit more difficult, a little darker as
yeah.
they went along.
Well, wasn't one of them controversially so, where it came out and people said, oh boy, this is a turn? If so, what book was that?
Yeah, you know, I want to say around the 4th or 5th book, it does start to get darker. People, there are more deaths, and certainly by the very last book, it's a much darker story. She was really drawing on, you know, narratives about Hitler, about, you know, biblical narratives. It does get very dark, and it is the story of good against evil. And she wanted to not write down to children. She wanted them to really feel like this is serious and they can handle it.
Hmm. Well, so was she an innovator, or was she just borrowing from Star Wars and the Bible and Shakespeare and so forth?
Well, I think she was an innovator. You know, all of those people, well, we can't say the Bible, but the others are certainly all borrowing from each other. I think that anything that's really universal is going to have echoes of other serious and popular works. And just the fact that nobody's been able to do what she's done since, I think really proves what an original task she accomplished.
So Harry goes to Hogwarts, and then what happens? He learns to become better at his magical craft?
He does, and at the end of each book, there's usually, or over the course of the school year, but culminating in an event at the end of each book, he usually faces a very serious challenge, and those challenges often come from Voldemort, the evil wizard, who he had somehow vanquished as a child, but who's lived on in this sort of ephemeral way. And so as the books go on, Voldemort is getting stronger and stronger, and Harry keeps having to defeat him and his enemies until a final showdown in the last book.
Right. So it concludes with good versus evil at the very end. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's sort of like a Garden of Gethsemane situation where he has to decide, am I going to really sacrifice myself for this cause to save the wizarding world and really to save the whole world?
Because Harry has to make that decision.
People.
But Harry doesn't die at the end of the thing. By the way, spoiler alert, if you haven't finished book 7, where I'm about to ask her what happens at the end of book 7. I mean, Harry lives, right?
He does, yeah. But he does go to a sort of limbo for a time. So he does have to sacrifice himself, but he lives anyway, which is a little bit of a complicated thing philosophically to explain. But she works it in such a way that it's almost like he goes to limbo for a time and then returns to life.
Hmm. There's a little Lion, Witch in the Wardrobe in there or something. I'm sure you can relate, people can, from other things they've read, to some of the devices she uses, huh?
Absolutely. And from the very first book, what's interesting is you can go back and read the original book reviews, and people were already comparing her to C.S. Lewis and Tolkien and everyone, all the really big hitters in the fantasy genre who'd come before her.
In the book, though, and by the way, on a phone line is Sarah Begley. She's a staff writer at Time. She also wrote the foreword. And did you write the entire, or was it a team effort, this Harry Potter inside the tale that enchanted the world?
It was a team effort, but I was writing many of the chapters in the book on various things, from the books to the movies, and of course the way that the Wizarding World is extended through new franchises like the Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them series, which we got the first installment of last year, and there are four more movies coming in that series.
How do the Harry Potter fans feel about the commercialization of the franchise? Isn't there a theme park? And the movies were a hit. I don't think anybody minded that. But is everybody happy with how she has sort of safeguarded the franchise?
You know, she's been pretty savvy. I think people were very happy with the movies. I don't think anyone's bothered by the theme parks. I would say some fans are perhaps a little less thrilled about the Fantastic Beasts series and the Harry Potter and the Cursed Child script book. To some people, it read like fan fiction of Harry Potter.
Uh-huh.
And people, I think, thought that the seven books and the original eight movies really just held up on their own so well that they didn't really want more of the story. They wanted it to stay as it was. But the truest, most diehard fans still love getting all the new elements of the story. And they would say, you know, why would you tell this creative person, J.K. Rowling, to stop being creative?
So, Elif is my producer. Elif, so which of the houses did you and I fall under?
Ravenclaw.
We're Ravenclaws? Okay. Did you take the quiz that's on Time Magazine, too? And where are you, Sarah?
I'm also a Ravenclaw. I think bookish people tend to be Ravenclaw.
Which do you... Are all of them desirable, or is there one of them that nobody wants to be?
Nobody wants to be Slytherin. That's usually where the bad guys come out of, although not everyone there is a bad guy.
I wonder if, you know, nobody will probably answer it in a way that would put themselves there, but maybe if you did it for somebody else, go, you know, you may not realize this, but you're in Slytherin.
I think that's probably true.
I posted that on my Facebook page. If you want a direct link to the Time Magazine quiz to help you determine where you're living. It's nice to talk to you, Sarah. Really well done. Let's visit again, all right?
Thanks so much, John. I'd love that.
Sarah Begley writes for Time Magazine.
That ain't no ordinary cut on your forehead, Harry. A mark like that only comes from being touched by a curse, and an evil curse at that.
What happened to... you know who?
Well, some say he died. Codswallop, in my opinion. Nope. I reckon he's out there still. Too tired to carry on. But one thing's absolutely certain. Something about you stumped him that night. That's why you're famous. That's why everybody knows your name. You're the boy who lived.